dāvādāṁ jebāṁ pēcīrā tēm pēcīnē jīn sāpā gōtēn tēlā chāsālā tōngyēn yīcē sūntō jībē lā jīcē sācē kāchē jīn rūgā chānā pīmā tēcīn yīcē lā sūvā tēcīn tā yē jīn jī lū ကစားဟန်တို့ကြည်တာနံပါတ်နံပါတ်3ကြည်ပါဆက်ကြည်ကနေ့ချလိုက်ရဲဆက်ကြည်ဟန်ကြံတို့ကြံတို့ရေမြံတို့ကျူလေရွေးပါနံပါတ်3ကြည်ပါရဲဆက်ကြည်ဒါကြံနံပါတ်3ကြည်ပါယင်းမြင်ကြီးဆက်ကြံတို့ရေမြံတို့နဲ့တူစေဒါနံပါတ်3ကြည်ပြီးဒုံနာမေကစားဆက်ကြည်နတ်တာဝကတာချာကြည်ရှိခေလင်းဘေဒါနံပါတ်ကြီးနံပါတ်တယ်နံပါတ်3ကြည်ဒုံနာမလာလိုက်ရဲဆက် ສະຫັນດາຕາວະກະຕາຊາຍະຊີດີດີຊີທັງຈິເມດາວາຊາຈະທັງຈະດຸງວ່າຊ່ວຍທັງຈະດຸງວ່າຊ່ວຍທັງຈະດຸງວ່າຊ່ວຍທັງຈະດຸງວ່າຊ່ວຍທັງຈະດຸງວ່າຊ່ວຍທັງຈະດຸງວ່າຊ່ວຍທັງຈະດຸງວ່າຊ່ວຍທັງຈະດຸງວ່າຊ່ວຍທັງຈະດຸງວ່າຊ່ວຍທັງຈະດຸງວ່າຊ່ວຍທັງຈະດຸງວ່າຊ່ວຍທັງຈະດຸງວ່າຊ່ວຍທັງຈະດຸງວ່າຊ່ວຍທັງຈະດຸງວ່າຊ່ວຍທັງຈະດຸງວ່າຊ່ວຍທ 저기 뉴모 방에든 타바토 두고레스 제다 마저야 강도 지도 텔리아네 도체는 저기 아도 삼만나리 냠면 지역으로 해서 어디 가서 휴사와지
So good morning everyone. And then last night we started to look at this text on tenets, and we first looked at what is the boundary for someone to call themselves a Buddhist. So for someone to be a Buddhist, they need to go for refuge, and that's the first thing we looked at yesterday. And to be then we looked at someone who is a Buddhist but is also a propounder of Buddhist tenets. So what do they additionally need to do? They need to have studied and come to understand through analytical reasoning the four seals that we have there on the screen. So once the four seals have been accepted and accepted on the basis of reasoning, then someone can be called a propounder of Buddhist tenets. So the meaning of the four seals there is something that is presented in great detail in the Lamrim. So if someone wants to come to an understanding of the four seals, the best way to do that is through the extensive presentation that is in the Lamrim. So the first one we have there, all compounded phenomena are impermanent. So this shows how all compounded phenomena momentarily change. And this momentariness, this impermanence is something we've been looking at very recently and are continuing to look at in the Lamrim teachings. And then the second line there is about all contaminated phenomena are suffering. So here, all contaminated phenomena arise from the causes of contaminated karma and afflictions, and therefore they are in the nature of suffering. And being in the nature of suffering, lasting happiness cannot come from contaminated phenomena. Therefore, they are suffering, because they are suffering in their nature. So this is also something we've seen in the Lamrim. And then furthermore, the antidote to this contaminated karma and afflictions, this is the realization of selflessness. So here we have all phenomena are empty and selfless. So this is the antidote, this realization is the antidote to suffering. And that then brings us to the fourth of the seals, nirvana is peace. So that's part of what we looked at last night. So, and then we started with the presentation on the Vaibhashika, the first of the four Buddhist schools, and last night we looked at their definition, and now we'll continue with the presentation.
And dine killing betone and the temen you to dumb by your casa seller and Jeramawas and dine chile Jeramalagi, yes, and Jilarada.
So last night we looked at this definition of proponents of the great exposition and being a person propounding lesser vehicle tenets who does not assert self-cognizes but does assert truly existence external objects. This, where we have here is the lesser vehicle, the Tibetan tenets. So here, of the four schools, the first two, Vaibhashika and Sautrantika, they fall within that of the Tibetan tenets, and the second two, the Chittimatra and the Madhyamaka, they fall within the grouping of the Mahayana tenets.
Nada temin yudubda mawa labde temin sedi ani karit temin sedi karir labna ta tawi chane ko tade tawa ani tawa dus mawa che ani tade di garso de tawshe rangwa jin yu tongwa tongwa tawshe rangwa jin yu tongwa de tong tong za dame chama de dame res chisa tawshe rangwa jin yu tongwa to be lo di gomba le tene ne tarwa thugre se ji di kontu ge ta kon tu ge di shi gor wa che ra ma ji da de ne da de le di da sem zam ba da u ma ba che na she ra ge ta wa de ra ba ra ba re ji ro ni za de le ko di ke lin ba ta wa ke lin di ne du na ma wa yin za di ne te men yu du na ma wa as la yin zen ji le.
So what differentiates the schools of the Tibetan vehicle and that of the Mahayana vehicle in this context is one of view. So the view of those of the Tibetan schools is what they assert selflessness as is being the a person being empty of being a permanent unity and independent self. So that is the view of selflessness, the coarsest view of selflessness of the Tibetan tenets. And this is something from the perspective of the Mahayana tenets that is seen as particularly coarse, not very subtle, not very refined. So this is one of the key distinguishing features in terms of view between the Tibetan tenets and the Mahayana tenets. And then another difference is that the proponents of Mahayana tenets, they hold that to become a Buddha, the realization of the selflessness of beings is selflessness of persons isn't enough. One also has to realize the selflessness of phenomena in order to become a Buddha. So this is a unique view to those of the Mahayana tenets.
Dine mani jeramawa ane ninji kom dekhe ta janju sem kom gen jeramawa yungurwa jeramawa na ina di da de dumje wo do jibe tema le ma do ngaju kiden yema da de chesin lamna temi lam se ji ji di ko ni shi bi ki ko temen cha go ma ro ko chesin ma ro cha go ga sen janju sem go lo jo ji go ro wa dine janju sem ba jeramawa janju sem ba jo ba ina ta Jeramawa Jensenba, Yobo onto Dante, or Yoba Shavana Jensen Solom Chumuru, Jerama Jobaje, Dijeramawa di Dangan Jida, quotation by the Timin Barelana, quotation in Gaza, Rasan Go Jajusim Gilgirua, the same Jamjigi to Sanjoko Tobachiko, in the quotation by the S. In Adam, the Dumna, the Garrison Koran, Dumna Mandi, teaching in Dumna Rebe, Timing Dumna Marelan, quotaming you Dumna Marela, Garrison Oko, Tawadi.
So So someone who's a holder of the Vaibhashika view, they can, like those of, say, the Chittamatrans or the Middle Way School, they too can develop the mind of bodhicitta on the basis of great compassion. So a view holder of the Theravadin tenets can develop bodhicitta and therefore become a bodhisattva. So here, this is an important distinction, that someone can be on the path of the Mahayana whilst holding a Theravadin view. So to be on the path of a Mahayana, one can either have a Theravadin view or a Mahayana view. So what distinguishes someone being on the path of the Mahayana is the generation of this uncontrived bodhicitta, whether they have a Theravadin or a Hinayana view.
lam yin nam sha si de che xin lam na tian min lam si de ni xi bi ge be tian men tian ba tian men xia de dang de de zhong ye gan de xi bi tian min yun na ma wa le si tian men xia ni de ji ba sam da wai na ji ba ji bu ji jia le sam dang yun na gang a gong wo qiu wa da de di ji za di de de ne zhen ju jie ra ma wa jian ju sen ba di chuo lan ba di da ne ko zhong de wo de ji tian men zhe wa ji za ko tian xin ma le la wa xia ge wa ne de lam le xu bi lam jiao de ji bi tian xin ba yin za अने को त थेमिङ दुना वे गासा मारे स्याजि दिनिगि थोने अने दिनि जिगो समताना गंगा छिठिगो रे जदा दिनि खाखाले ख जिगो मारे
So this distinction between the Theravada and the Mahayana in terms of view, and the distinction between the Theravada and Mahayana in terms of path, this is something to be clear about, because if one is confused about this, many mistakes in one's understanding can come. So just to say again, that someone who has someone who is a bodhisattva, someone who has generated the Mahayana path in their continuum, and is therefore a Mahayanist, may well have a Theravadin view. They may well have the view of a Vaibhashika. Or, of course, they may have a view of the Sautrantika, or the Mahayana view holders of the Chittamatra and Middle Way. So they can hold any one of these four schools, their philosophical view, whilst actually being a bodhisattva. So it's important to have that distinction between the Theravadin view and the Theravadin path. Alternatively, the Mahayana view and the Mahayana path.
Dinigi Janju Senba Solamba Chung Chira Mawaji Di Ani Dumji Wondo Chena Kwa Temen Pase Di Lamji Wondo Chepa Ni Kwa Cheshi Mare Chesang Namyun Jidang Nga Zuki Cheshin Temen Jishi Yung Di Lamji Wondo Chepa Temen Kwa Shijia Ru Shi Gore Ta Kwa Temen Pare Cheshi Mare Siya Di Lamji Kwa Shi Chesang Da Dinigi Janju Senba Chira Mawaji Solam Chung Wadi 남기원도진의
So generally, in teachings or in texts, when we come across the term Theravada or Mahayana, it's referring to that someone in terms of path, whether they are a Mahayanist or a Theravadin practitioner, in terms of path. That is usually the meaning when we hear these terms. However, it's important to understand in terms of view that the understanding is quite different, and therefore that someone can be on, say, a Theravadin path, but having a Mahayana view, but they would not be a Mahayanist, they would not be a Bodhisattva. So it's important to have this distinction clear, because misunderstandings can come in this way.
अने को मंजू के चेचिन बारे भी थेमिन बारे लाने को थेमिन बारे हो कसं न्यंदू लाम लोजा चिगो रहा को जायू से मुगले यो मारे इंसान को थेमिन बारे है जिसना लाम यू ओं तो जेबा ने को थेमिन बे गाता चाहो रहे ना ने जुम्दे ओं तो जेबा ने करे को चेचिन बारे चेचिन के जुम्दा मार
A hero practitioner may well hold the Chittamatran view. So the Chittamatran view is a Mahayana view. But in terms of their path, their practice, their aspiration, that person could be a Theravadin. So they could have attained a Theravadin path. But their view is that of the Chittamatrans. So therefore, they are a Theravadan practitioner holding a Mahayana view. So in the context of tenets, if we are identifying ourselves as Mahayanists, what we are saying is that in addition to the acceptance of the view of selflessness of persons, we also accept the view of selflessness of phenomena. That is what's meant by someone who identifies as a Mahayanist in terms of view. And if they look at, thinking about someone else who identifies as a Theravadan in terms of view, that person will just be holding the view of the selflessness of persons. They will reject the view of the selflessness of phenomena. And so how these different views will impact on whichever path the practitioner is on is that if someone holds to the Mahayana view, they, as we've just seen, they accept the selflessness of phenomena. So whatever goal they're striving for, they will strive to achieve that goal, including the meditation on the selflessness of phenomena, in particular, if they're wanting to attain Buddhahood. So they will be, if someone who holds a Mahayana view will have to, in terms of their path, they will need to include the meditation of the selflessness of phenomena. Whereas a practitioner who holds the Theravadan view, they, on their part, they will just need to engage in meditation on the selflessness of persons. They won't need to also engage in the meditation on the selflessness of phenomena. So the reason I've said quite a bit on this right now is because if we have this understanding that that the Mahayana path and the Mahayana view are necessarily held by the same person, and the Theravadan path and the Theravadan view is again referring to the same person, from that many mistakes can come. So it's important to understand this distinction between the Mahayana view and the Theravadan view, the Mahayana path and the Theravadan path, and how someone can be a practitioner of one vehicle's path whilst holding the other vehicle's view. So that's an important distinction to hold, because without that, mistakes can come.
Chama,
Then we also saw in the definition that they assert truly existent external objects. So in the definition of Vipassaka, we have that they assert truly existent external objects. So the external objects are the objects of the sense powers. So or the sense consciousnesses. So we have the form, we have sound, we have smell, we have taste, and we have touch. So those five objects are these external objects. So if we take one as an example, and that is a form. So what is form in, according to Vaibhashika? So form is initially it's a gross object, but if you investigate and go down to its subtlest parts, you'll actually see that it's comprised of really very, very tiny particles, which they call partless particles. So these partless particles, when they we cannot see them, they are far too small for us to perceive. But when they come together and they group together, that is what makes a grosser form that we can perceive. So that's the Vaibhashika view on how external objects, on what external objects are. Then in addition to that, they say, because we see that they assert truly existent external objects, so they say that these partless particles are truly existent. So hence, they assert truly existent external objects. So now coming to the next division, that of divisions, the next outline, that of divisions, we see that the Vaibhashika can be divided into three. So we have the proponents of the great exposition from Kashmir, the western region, and the central region. So as we can see from the name, this indicates, am I looking at the same one? Yeah, that it indicates areas of ancient India. So the first group are from Kashmir, so they're from that greater region of Kashmir. Then the second group, the western region, well, let's do the third group first, the central region. So the central region refers to Bodh Gaya and its surroundings. So we have Kashmir on the one hand, then we have Bodh Gaya, and then we have what here is the western region, which literally means under the sun. So that refers to all Vaibhashikas other than those in the Bodh Gaya area or the Kashmir area. So this division into three is one way that the Vaibhashikas can be divided. They can also be divided into 18.
And the Vaibhashikas can be divided into 18.
Mm-hmm. So the way that these 18 schools came about, these 18 subdivisions of the Vaibhashika, is that there were four, maybe you could say, founding foe destroyers. And they and their students were in different areas of India, and therefore, in a sense, they formed their own sub-school of the Vaibhashika view. And then from these four, the 18 came.
Mm.
So these four foe destroyers who were the founders of their separate subdivisions of the Vaibhashika, from them further subdivisions came. So the first was further subdivided into five sub-schools, the second into seven, the third and the fourth into three each. So these coming together make the 18 sub-schools of the Vaibhashika. So I apologize, I don't have these names. So again, they're saying them, but I don't know what they are. Hopefully next time I'll be able to give them to you. But right now... Oh, they're in the notes. Oh, fantastic. Oh, they're at the bottom. Ah, fantastic. Did you get to play here? Okay, good. So you have them there at the bottom. Okay, good.
That is it. That is it. That...
Now we look at the etymology. So here, why are they called proponents of particulars? So this proponents of particulars is a name for the Vaibhashika. So that's a direct translation of Vaibhashika. So they are called such because they propound tenets through following Vasimuttara's great exposition of particulars. So, and then from that we can see why here they're called the Great Exposition School.
Mm-hmm. 다 람지 다 되네 그 람지 공당 람지 림바 되네 공구레 다 람지 림바 되네 공발라 되네 타르 안에 자준비 되고 되네 토그레에서지 시 람 되고 송공구레서 니니스도 실람 제스미 남샤디 다 되네 마시 오고레
So, and it's in this text, this great exposition of particulars, that the basis, path, and results of the Vaibhashika is presented. So the basis is presented in this text, as well as the various paths that need to be cultivated, and in the results of a foe destroyer, what that is also presented here in this text, the great exposition of particulars.
Na dire, da dina anima disiro dashe yuyu yuyu de su se chigo da yuyu se de anzu ge chida da kanet kare yuyu gare yore ane toya kare gore ne su shingwa kare se de shini su che gorwa jina dine yuyu ko she ba si ba kare se de ju ni ba se de ngobe chi de si da ngazu ngobo se chi yore ane ngobo se de yoba da ngobo de la ane kanet ji ngobo se de yore ane ngobo se de kanet ji lagre se
So now we come to the fourth outline, the way of asserting objects. So here at the bottom of page 3, so the way of asserting objects, so the definition of thing is that which is able to perform a function. So just to mention what here is called thing, you'll often hear when you hear functioning thing, it's exactly the same as what is called thing in this translation. So the definition of a thing is that which is able to perform a function. And then we have some equivalent, some synonyms. So thing, existence, and object of knowledge are equivalent. So that what the Vaibhashika holds is that everything that is an existence is a thing and an object of knowledge. And an object of knowledge is something that can be known. So they hold that a thing, an existence, and an object of knowledge are equivalent.
Now, the Niki, Mobo said, Dila, Nanglo, descend to Yawa in Anagazi or Sine, and the Dua, Nidua, Taupe Mobo said, and the Mitaupe Mobo said, and you would, yes.
Then this can be divided into, this or things can be divided into two permanent and impermanent things. And we'll have a chart up there in a moment, just making these two divisions clear. I mean, they're quite simple. So what is a permanent and an impermanent thing? So in brief, a permanent thing is something that doesn't momentarily change. So something that doesn't momentarily change is a permanent thing, or to use the longer name, a permanent functioning thing. And then an impermanent thing is something that does momentarily change. So the first illustration that is given is uncompounded space. So uncompounded space is a permanent thing. So it's permanent, it doesn't change momentarily, and that's the first illustration that is given. So what we're hearing right now, that uncompounded space is a thing or a functioning thing. This is unique to Vaibhashika. No one will say that that uncompounded space, which doesn't momentarily change, is a functioning thing or a thing. So this is a unique view to the Vaibhashika.
나자도 준담바와 시 도제바 샘잠바 우마바 세디기기 답에 오버세 키리시고 말에 오버다 여반이 된다 지과를 내고 막 가서 가야 되는 거거든요.
So furthermore, the other schools, the Sautrantika, Chittimadra and Madhyamaka, they don't say that something that is permanent can be a functioning thing. So this is something that is unique to the Vaibhashika. So the line of thinking for a Vaibhashika is that uncompounded space is permanent, and therefore it is a functioning thing. And why is it a functioning thing? Because it is able to perform a function. So that's their line of logic. Uncompounded space is permanent, and if it's permanent, it's a thing, and if it's a thing, it can fulfill its definition, that which is able to perform a function. So what is this function that this permanent object of uncompounded space is able to perform? So the function that uncompounded space can perform is it enables other things to move through it. So for example, uncompounded space has the function of enabling wind to blow, or people to move through open space, through an aeroplane to fly through the sky, etc. So if uncompounded space wasn't a permanent phenomena fulfilling this function, then these things wouldn't be able to happen. They would say, the Vaibhashika would say, that planes couldn't fly through space, people couldn't move through space, winds couldn't blow through space.
So
the other tenants, they certainly say uncompounded space is a permanent phenomenon, but they don't say it performs a function. So that's the difference between the Vaibhashika and all other Buddhist tenants. And the Vaibhashika are unique in saying that that uncompounded space performs a function. So then we come to the second illustration, which is analytical cessation. Is analytical cessation. So what is an analytical cessation? This is an analytical cessation is what we know in other contexts as a cessation. So here they call it an analytical cessation. So this comes about from cultivating an antidote to an affliction through meditation. So familiarizing oneself with an antidote, and as that familiarity with the antidote strengthens, the affliction weakens. And as this antidote gets more and more powerful, this affliction weakens and weakens in strength, and eventually one eliminates the affliction completely, and one attains a true cessation. So that true cessation is an analytical cessation, and that analytical cessation or true cessation is permanent. If it's permanent, it's a thing, and therefore it falls into this division here.
Then the mōpō yīmbyō yīmzā gārā tēn dēn jīn dīvā rē sē mā. Tā kōyō dēn gārā jīg dū lāb nā, gōpā tī kē dēn gārā jīg dū lāb nā, nyō mōpā tī kē mā chūyō chī kā hāndi gōk tē tē kē rē sē, kō tī kā yō dēn jīg wā rē sē. Tā gōk tē tē mē bā chā, mē bā chā wā nā, nyō mōpā tī kē yō rē sē, tā nyō mōpā yūnyē kē mē bā zhō kēn tī gōk tē tī kē mā chē chī kō sē shī bā rē. Nzā gōk tē nī yō bā nzā, nyō mōpā tī lā rā kē wā yō chā wā rē sē. Chēsā nī kē wā mē bā zhō bā tī gōk tē tī kē nī bē rē sē. Nzā gōk tē tī kē dēn jī nī bā nzā tī dēn jī nī gō rē sē, shī gō rē.
Okay, so we see now that this analytical cessation, it's permanent, and therefore it's a thing, and if it's a thing, it must fulfill the definition of a thing, which is able to perform a function. So what is the function that an analytical cessation fulfills? It prevents, it eliminates afflictions and prevents them from arising. So as long as this cessation is present, its corresponding affliction cannot arise. So that is the function that an analytical cessation performs. It prevents the afflictions that it has eliminated from arising again.
And Jeramawege, Soso Damin Yukova is killing you, Soso Damin Yukova. Soso Damin Yukova said, Jeramaw Horon Tumo, my Marimado, Dode Bada, and Sem Zambad, Umabati, Soso Damin Yukova said, Tani Yomare. Then Jeramaw Horon Gita, Soso Damin Yukova says, Jagore.
Now the third illustration, that of a non-analytical cessation. So this non-analytical cessation, you won't hear about from anyone other than a Vaibhashika. It is a unique presentation of the Vaibhashika. Okay. So this non-analytical cessation that's unique to the Vaibhashika, so it's called a cessation, but it's not really a cessation. So we hear the term, or we see the term here, cessation, but it's not what we usually come to understand by the term of cessation. And that is because it's not something that comes about through cultivation of a path. So what we saw before, the analytical cessation, that came about with the cultivation of a path, whereas that's not the case with a non-analytical cessation. So to give a rough example, which isn't completely right, but just to give an idea of what we're talking about here, if someone has before them two plates of food, maybe they have a bowl of tukpa and they have some rice, and rice and vegetables, hopefully. So they can... the person can eat whichever one they want, and they choose to eat the rice and vegetables, and from that they're full. So they're not going to eat the tukpa. So this is now a cessation, a non-analytical cessation, because through eating the one, they don't eat the other. So this is what is meant by a non. This is a rough example of what is meant by a non-analytical cessation.
Debate. 当我们这个人年纪老了，年纪老了，学那几个人，人家老了学那几个人，说说托他，托他有话的，学那几个人，该要学那学出国是吧？人家现在去出国了，一年当后，可能给他人年纪老了，人家年纪老了，要学人家去呢，那年纪跑过来吃啥了吧的？吃啥都，那个时候我说，过人家跑过来吃有嘛的？嗯，第一年了，人家马上年了后，吃月底了的，那人家跑过去呢吃没吧吃啥的？
第一年了，咱们马上年了，可差月底了的，咱人家发过去的差没吧差啥的？马上完事，第二个的过年的都年底了，咱们了学习，本来年底再准备这部套上是吧？年底再准备这部套上呢，但第二个刚是俺了，人家再准备这部套呀没吧差啥的？没吧差完的，今马上月都也没吧差的嘛都，年报工表都也没吧收吧嘛是吧？
咱们就跟我们这人家这么多还没吧？可能，
现在年报这么多，这还这么从什么先把它给上？金子呢？借一句了，金马上了吧？人家这准备这部头发了，金改了过来就金了就旧了过来吧？其实人家咱们了休息，人家咱们路上写过来吧？你马这把子，人家咱们人家这准备这部头发也没吧？下什么的？金马上了，因为人家这准备这部没吧？马头发的，可咱们就跟我们这。 过年不点钱，没有水果这边是立马来做的，年不点要嘛，年末的钱呢，年不点钱没有水果了哇。但是人家这就没这个马头把的，年不点南国么子，过没有水果嘛是吧？该是过人家那马工嘛，就没吧，咱没接完的。其实你咱今年年底当不完了，就年底咱们了马修边那个不啦，人家这就没托那几个人，年底这就没托那托那，该是托那，说是托下月底干去的。
因为呢，他年纪人家那么老不叫马车把接，就算年纪那么了，路上去接，人家这就没脱松了吧？年纪这就没脱松了吧？脱了的，人家这就没这不脱了嘛的，彻底脱脱了嘛的，今年脱也没把车松的。现在脱也没把车，今年给脱也没把车把的，但说说个啥，说说单名就过话了，过来，今年给没把车把，大不彻底了。
So now let's take an actual illustration to show what this unique presentation of a non-analytical cessation is. So with someone who's wanting to enter a Theravadan path, they have the choice whether to engage in the path of a hearer or the path of a solitary realizer. So before engaging in the path, this is a decision they make themselves. Am I going to go in this direction or in that direction? And they make their decision, they generate the required, they develop their minds and they enter the path and they practice the path of either the hearer or the solitary realizer. So that's a decision someone makes at one point. So let's say they enter the path of a hearer and they progress to the state of a hero foe destroyer. They attain their goal and they're a hero foe destroyer. So they have attained this path of a hero foe destroyer through cultivating the required antidote to the afflictions and the like, and they've attained this state of a hero foe destroyer. But the state of being a hero foe destroyer means that there cannot be a solitary realizer foe destroyer. There can only be one or the other. So because they're a hero foe destroyer, not a solitary realizer foe destroyer, this is called a non-analytical cessation. So it's a cessation, unlike what we saw before with the analytical cessation. This is a cessation that didn't come about through the application or the cultivation of a path and the application of an antidote to an affliction and the like. Rather, it's because this person is now a hero foe destroyer, they cannot also be a solitary realizer foe destroyer. And that is called a non-analytical cessation.
哦，但年纪，说是单面国话，是靠了年纪了，说是单面国话，是明代国的，其实蛮话的。本来你男性级的，本来，俺说，多点白那的，生产白的，五毛白那的，你越点了吧？的本来，年纪了，咱们那大点俺说，咱们家里现在老不讲，现在说是，然后越白那，年纪了，咱们这边头发越少的，年纪咱们这边头发越了，开始切白。 你那当年纪，人家咱们老老将马家把这年纪，咱们老老将今年都是呢，年纪咱们这不套上了，你接了，但人家这就没这不套要的不是呢，要嘛嘞？接了没有？刚才对的巴当、三藏巴当、五马贝如来套要嘛嘞？ 매번 가슴 토고에 걸어요 말과 자주마 토사로 봐 자주마 토는 야자 라제 자주마 저 토고에 균해요 말과 거바스가요 말과 여러분
아 건네잖아 아 저
근데 자주마 저 토사나 야자 라제 람로 주제 라제 자주마 저 토고에요 말과 자주마 토사나 가슴에 묘모 못 봐야 된다라 자주마 보고 토고래 지난 년에 자주마 저 토는 묘모 같잖아 봐서 인자는 묘모 못 봐야 돼요 인자 라제 자주마 토고에요 토고에요 말하고 년도에 남라 두 슬로브정 제제 아니 년도에 저쯤에 저부 톱나 디니게 년도에 저쯤에 톱생에 간다들 제를 양자 산제 저쯤에 저부 토야 여러분 요 말에 네 가르 토야 여러분 산지 고고 토야 여러분 나 라제 저쯤에 저부 토야 요 말에 디 토야 매바디 텐주바 제라마와 되대바 선자바 세상 지과래 이내 디니게 토야 매바디라 제라마에게 수소 따민이 고고 민다고래 대대바다 샘잠바다 우마비게 수소 따민이 고바스 민따교 말 민따교 말 따네 되게 말해라 그러데 민따교 말 타인 뒤차고 말 디 저 따민 고바 라게데 제가 마와 지구래 했어 던다라 차상래 유예래
So that's an illustration to show what this non-analytical cessation is. And as has been said, this is a unique view of the Vaibhashikas. So the other tenants, they will say, they will agree with most of what the Vaibhashikas are saying here. A practitioner at one point will make a decision whether they're going to go for the, along the hero path or the solitary realizer path. Whilst they're cultivating that path, they'll be cultivating the antidote to the afflictions, and they will eventually attain their result, namely that of a, in this case, the hero foe destroyer. So there's not so much disagreement. But at that point, the Vaibhashikas say this non-analytical cessation of not being a solitary realizer has been attained. Now, no one else will say that. Rather, what the other schools will say, no, this person is a hero foe destroyer. They have now attained their goal. They have attained their nirvana. They have no need to enter the solitary realizer path. So we don't call this a non-analytical cessation. They just have attained their particular goal, and they don't need to attain the goal of a solitary realizer path. So we don't call this anything. That is just how it is, so to speak. The only thing that they may say is that this, and not all tenants, but some tenants will say that, so well done, you've now here a foe destroyer. You do have something more to attain. It's not that of the foe destroyer state, the state of a foe destroyer that is a solitary realizer, but rather the bodhisattva parts and the state of a Buddha. That still has to be attained. So some tenants will say that, but none of them will refer to anything here as, well, none of them will use this term non-analytical cessation.
Jeba, then Jigila, that you don't gin let in a young boy, Rick Chasan, you don't gin let in a kid, you Rick Chasan over the Midabad and Jeba, Lamna, this is Chasan, the Midabu over, yes, over Midabad, yes, Midabu over Elemor.
So now we looked at impermanence phenomena. So my pages are a little bit more open, probably here. Yeah, so impermanent phenomena. So here we have the illustration of created phenomena, product, and impermanence. Created phenomena, products, and impermanent phenomena. So just to say this created phenomena, if you read other texts, sometimes it's called arising or arisen phenomena. So these are the three illustrations for impermanent things, and they all come about from causes and conditions. So another way to divide functioning things, as we see there on the screen, the lower half, can be into concealer truths and ultimate truths.
Mm.
So for we look at conventional truth, or it's sometimes called concealer truths, which later that name becomes much better. So I'll probably use more concealer truth. So the definition of a concealer truth is a phenomena such that an awareness apprehending it is cancelled if it is broken up or mentally separated into its parts, into its individual parts.
那你的这个虚学的嘛，就嘛，托里面本身托了一呢，本弄出去了一把虚学，加上托呢，没把嘛吸收把一呢，那你接了，你一旦把这康巴的身边什么的，没有加在的，在康巴有嘛的身边什么的事了，现在康巴的身边什么的多啊的，你在康巴的，该是呢康巴的工作点把的，该是呢康巴的怕就下把一呢，这康巴的身边落地没把加的工作啊，其实工作点把的。
So to take an easy illustration for concealer truth, let's think of a room, whether this room or any room. So we have the thought, this is a room. Now, or this is a building, probably is easier. So this is a building. So then something comes along and I don't know, maybe some big machinery or some natural disaster, and the building is destroyed. So that mind that existed before of this is a building, that mind no longer can apply to that object because the object has been destroyed. So with the object being destroyed, the mind holding it as that object is destroyed. So to say it again, so we have a mind saying, holding this is a building, then the building is destroyed, then that mind holding this is a building obviously isn't there anymore because now the building is just a pile of rubble. So the illustration, to use the illustration given in the book about a pot that is being destroyed by or smashed with a hammer. So of course we're first seeing the pot in front of us, this clay pot in front of us, and we have this mind pot. Then it's destroyed, and therefore because there's no longer a pot before us, this mind holding pot no longer exists. That mind holding pot therefore is eliminated. So that means the pot is a concealer truth because it is a phenomenon such that an awareness apprehending it is cancelled if it is broken up in this case or mentally separated into its individual parts. So to use the other illustration given here, so a woolen cloth is also a concealer truth. So that is because if it's separated into its individual parts, so if these various threads we have, they are pulled and are separated into a whole lot of threads, it's no longer a cloth. It's now just a load of threads. So the mind which was formerly holding the cloth is now not going to be able to hold the object cloth, because that object cloth has been separated into its parts, namely the individual threads. So the definition for ultimate truth So here we'll see it's really similar just for this one crucial word. A phenomenon such that an awareness apprehending it is not cancelled if it is broken up or mentally separated into its individual parts. So here that word not shows what an ultimate truth is as opposed to a conceded truth.
Tene dumbanyi je pasho dumbo chik zaya, yang chik shunne dumbanyi chaya arwa. Do suma aso, gandam chik liya, duten chuchu chik ane del ya, da disha ki chaya chore, di nubju chore sen, chachiye yunye me dike duten chore es, deji duten chore es ura. Dela ming duten chame la ura, da duten re, ina ko shia chore da nubcho, chak yunye chaya yo ma es, me wazo ming duten chame la es. Tene duten chame de, toye shunne, ko me wazo tuya yo ma la.
The text gives some illustrations. So I think the first one I have here is the directionally partless particle. So this we heard about briefly earlier this morning. If you take a gross object or a coarse object and you divide it up into smaller parts. So we saw how these gross objects earlier were concealer truths. Now you divide it up into smaller parts till you get to the tiniest particle. And this tiniest particle is this directionally partless particle. It's something that is so small that it cannot be perceived, and it's so small it doesn't have a north or a south or east or west side. It's really that tiny. So this is something that the very smallest particle, the foundation or the building blocks of the larger objects, so that cannot be destroyed any further. And as it cannot be destroyed, the mind apprehending it will actually remain. So therefore it fulfills the definition. A phenomena such that an awareness apprehending it is not cancelled if it is broken up or mentally separated. Because now it's been broken up to its smallest point, and now this particle cannot be broken up any further. Therefore, a mind will continue to apprehend it. So here we take this illustration of the parts. So we break it. That shows it's been broken into its parts. Therefore, the mind apprehending the pot has been eliminated. Therefore, the pot is the concealer truth. But if we then break up those parts and we go down to the subtlest particle, this direction partless particle, then the mind apprehending that partless particle is apprehending something that can be broken no further. And therefore, that direction partless particle is an ultimate truth.
That is all. 초지에
So now let's take something that doesn't have parts, left and a right, or an up and a down, or a north and a south. So we take as an illustration consciousness. So consciousness, it can be divided, but it's not divided into an up and down. It's rather divided into time. So you can have the consciousness of this morning, this afternoon, and tonight. You can have the preceding moments and the latter moments of consciousness. So in this way, consciousness can be divided, and therefore it is a concealer truth. So we see here how this our consciousness, it can be divided into preceding and later moments, and whether from a lengthy period of time or a shorter period of time, it can be divided into different moments. But as we divide further and further and further and further, we eventually get to the shortest moments of consciousness. And the shortest moments of consciousness can be divided no further. And as it cannot be divided any further, the consciousness apprehending it will not be eliminated. And that is what's referred to in the text as a temporarily partless moment of consciousness. So that is the smallest moment of consciousness. And that cannot be divided any further. Therefore, the consciousness apprehending it will continue to apprehend it. And therefore, it is an ultimate truth.
And then the
third one is compounded phenomena. Yes, we should have this here. Where are we now? Uncompounded phenomena, sorry. So the third one is uncompounded phenomena. So this is they are ultimate truths, and they are all permanent phenomena. So all permanent phenomena are uncompounded. So whatever phenomena is permanent, it can be called uncompounded, and it is an ultimate truth. And so permanent phenomena cannot be divided into parts, a left and a right, and a north and a south and the like, and it can't be divided into these periods of time. So all of these phenomena that are permanent, they are included as called uncompounded phenomena, and they are ultimate truths. So if we look at the board there, and we had the division before, permanent and impermanent. So in this division of concealer truths and ultimate truths, all permanent phenomena are ultimate truths. So previously, when we were looking at the Heart Sutra, we also spoke about concealer and ultimate truths. However, what was presented then and what is understood here is actually very, very different.
Kod
So what can we see from this presentation of concealer and ultimate truths? So what the Vaibhashika are saying, and where they have some similarity to what we studied before in the Heart Sutra, is that things that are concealer truths are things that really are not stable. So things such as a house or a pot and the like, these are not stable, and these are concealer truths. So then the Vaibhashika go on to explain the ultimate truth as if you really investigate, and you investigate very finely what something is, its building blocks, so to speak, the subtlest particles, the finest particles that either material matter or consciousness can be broken up into, or these permanent phenomena that cannot be broken up. These are the finest understanding that we can come to. Those are ultimate truths.
Zanazo Uma Bigi Kabla, Digi Sherani Kabla Sinsun, Dunum Demba, Kundu Demba, Sidi, Nanzu, Nanu, Chi, Chazan, Nawana, Hinji Yoma, Timbu Yoma, yes. Kazamazo Chimju, Jeva Jena, Nia Medus, Chesako, Nanzu Nawana, Hin, Timbu Medus, Nia Medus. Chesna do Jeva Jena, Nia, Nia, Tartun, Nia, the Karini Gudulana, Jeva Jetu, Tini, Go Jeva Jenia, the Nia, the Tony Nio.
동의니와
So when we looked at the Heart Sutra and we were looking at the presentation of the two truths in the context of the Madhyamaka, so their presentation of course is very different with that of the Vaibhashika in with regard to the two truths. Yet there is still some similarity. So what we saw in terms of the Madhyamaka presentation is that what appears to us, whatever appears to us, is not stable, it's not reliable. Because if we investigate what appears to us, we come to the understanding that the way that it appears and the way that it exists in reality are not in accordance. So the third is, of course, it's a more profound understanding than that of the Vaibhashikas, but there is a relationship between the two. So it's about what is... A conventional truth is something that what appears to us is not reliable and needs to be investigated further. So then when we do, in terms of the Prasangika investigation, when the further investigation is done, then one comes to really see that the way things appear and the way they abide are not in accordance, and then one comes to the understanding and later the realization of emptiness, and emptiness is the ultimate truth. Or ultimate truth and emptiness are synonymous for the Prasangika. So here again we can see a similarity with that of the Vaibhashika, whereas to come to an understanding of the ultimate truth, one needs to investigate, and it's through this process of investigation that one comes to an understanding of the ultimate truth. What that ultimate truth is, of course, is a vast difference between the Vaibhashika and the Prasangika, but there is a similarity between these two presentations on concealer truths and ultimate truths. So for the Vaibhashika understanding of ultimate truth, this has come about again through this detailed investigation. So the result of a detailed investigation is very different from the results of a Prasangika. They come to find something that is stable. So they conceal the truths, like with the Prasangika. These are not stable, they're not reliable. So this is investigated so as to find the ultimate way of abiding, to find the ultimate truth. The Vaibhashika then actually finds something stable, whether it's a permanent phenomena or these temporary, what is it called, the temporary partless moments of consciousness or the directly partless particles. They come to find something stable, something that is unmistaken. So the Prasangika will also go through this process of analysis, and they too will come to an understanding. Whilst their understanding is, of course, very different, their understanding, according to their tenets, of course, is also that they have found something unmistaken. So both schools are progressing from what we generally perceive in the world as being unreliable and unstable, and moving down to something that is unmistaken. And that unmistaken realization is their respective presentation of the ultimate truth. What we've been studying here, or what has been composed here by Jetsun Tsoki Gelson, it's important to understand that this isn't his view, it's not something he made up. So to make sure we understand that, there's a quotation given from the Abhidhamma, the Treasury of Manifest Knowledge. Those things, such as a pot or water, that the mind cannot engage if they are broken or mentally separated into other things, exist as concealer truths. Others exist as ultimate truths. So that is exactly what we've been looking at above. And so this is quoted here to show that it comes from a valid source. So the meaning is as it's said here clearly in the English, that if something is able to be separated into its individual parts, or if the if something being separated into its individual parts is if the consciousness apprehending something is lost when something is separated into its individual parts, then that something, that thing, that is a concealer truth. Whereas if the consciousness is not lost, because this cannot be separated into any further parts or moments of time, or because it's permanent, then that object is an ultimate truth, because the consciousness apprehending it is not lost.
Dijela da disore, that the dusum sature as a dusum, dusum ane, zeres, dusum sadida, madi, and daddy to chimmy to sadi, mobores, zeres, zesu dusum, zeres killing or esseramogi.
Madu, chi, do?
Yamagi, do, daddy to chimmy to sira, dusum sira, dusum sadang, I made you, daddy to chimmy to, what the name dusum sadi, and zesu to what is killing.
So we come now to the last paragraph here. The three times are asserted to be substances. And so the three times are, of course, past, present, and future.
Na jema lochi ki jema di maung bhe dhuirwa. Chisna dene ki dhuirza da dhusum che. Da bumbha khurong, yuwa da bumbha khurong dhambo sebi dhusaya yore, da dene bhi dhusaya yore, maung bha, macha bha dhu yore esha. Bumbha khurong dhusum yore na kore esha.
So to take a pot, we read this here, a pot is asserted to exist also at the time of the past of the pot and also at the time of the future of the pot. So if we take a pot that was created a year ago, so it was created a year ago, so there was a pot then, there's a pot now, it's still around, and assuming we look after it well, in a year's time there will still be a pot. So that's a pot that's existing through the three times. So this can be applied to ourselves as well. So we also exist in the three times. So when we were born, that would be the I in the past, or that would be us born in the past. There's, now we have the present, and when we age, there'll be the us of the future. So therefore there's the I of the past, the present, and the future. And this is in the presentation of the Vaibhashika. Yeah, so this is a unique view of the Vaibhashika. So, for example, the Mahayanists, proponents of the middle way view, they would say that the I of now is a different I from the I of the past, for example, when we were born. And likewise, when we age and we old in the future, that I then is also different from the I of now.
All right, that's the issue.
So also the understanding of impermanence for the Vaibhashika tends to be quite coarse. So when they come to explain impermanence, they will talk about something that first arises, then it abides, and then it is destroyed. So that's a very coarse understanding of impermanence. The higher schools, certainly the higher schools, they don't present impermanence in this way. They really, when they talk about impermanence, really the meaning is much more about momentary change, that everything from one moment to the next changes. So the Vaibhashika, they don't talk about impermanence in this way. They talk about something arising, then abiding for a lengthy period of time before it's destroyed or it ceases. So that's a very coarse understanding of impermanence, whereas the higher schools, they when they're talking about impermanence, mainly the meaning is that of momentary change.
ဒီကျေနာတွေကဆိုရင်ဂျေရမောခေါင်းជីတန်းနဲ့ជីတန်းဂျေရမောជីယုံကတွေ့တာတွေလေជីယုံကကြီးရှိတာတွေလေဒီကိုမိတာပါသမ္မတာဂျေရမောជីယုံကတဲ့ဂျေရမောခေါင်းသူကြီးဂျေရမောဒုဒမောဆွေနဲ့ခေါင်းသူချစားကြီးသမ္မတာထူရကြီးထူရကြီးဒီနေသားတွေရှိကုန်တယ်ဒီကွန်ဆူမန်ချာတီဒီန်ဂျာဘလာကြီးជីတန်းဟာជីတန်းနော်ဒါဂျေရမောဆွေနဲ့မိတာပါဆေသမ္မတာတွေတောင်ပေါ်ကြီးဒီနေ့ပါတဲ့နေ့ဒီနေ့ရှိမြေ
So this would be the general way that holders of the Vaibhashika view think about impermanence, that things arise, that it abides for a period of time, and then it ceases. However, within those who call themselves Vaibhashikas, there certainly will be individuals who do think in terms of momentary change, and when they meditate on impermanence, they will meditate about momentary change. But in general, or the general presentation of Vaibhashika is about arisal, abiding, and disintegration or ceasing. And whereas there will certainly be individuals who think about impermanence in the context of momentary change. So to illustrate this, we could think of, for example, driving. So you could say there's a general way that most people drive, but then there are exceptions. So there are those that drive a little recklessly, a little bit wild behind the wheel and the like, but there still is a generally accepted way of driving. So certainly those of with sharp analytical skills within the Vaibhashikas, they will think a little differently from those who are have less sharp analytical skills. So therefore it's important with the Vaibhashika presentation, and we can use this impermanence as an illustration, not to criticize their view, because whilst there may be this general view in say, for example, with impermanence of arising, abiding, and disintegration, and that's quite coarse, amongst their practitioners there will be those who have a more profound understanding. And then furthermore, why we really should not criticize their view is because this presentation is suitable for some people, and through this presentation they will be able to engage with the Buddhist path and the Buddhist view. Now we've been looking at the presentation on objects. So we saw how objects can be divided into two groups, can be either divided into permanence and impermanence, or things can be divided into conceded truths and ultimate truths. So those are objects. Now we come to the next presentation, that of object possessors. So number 5 on page 4. And so object possessors are those which possess the objects. So, what is known, that would be the object, and the knower of that is the object possessor. So the consciousness, that's, or not necessarily consciousness, the knower of the object, that is the object possessor. And what is known, that is the object. So this object possessor, so we see from this name, this word, that you have the object that is possessed, and this meaning of possessed here would rather be that it's known. So you have the object that is known, and that is an object possessor. So the first object possessor we'll look at is that of a person. So let's see what they what the Vaibhashika says as a person. So there's one presentation which is the collection of the five aggregates. So we looked at those five aggregates before: of form, feeling, discrimination, compositional factors, and consciousness. So some assert that this mere collection of the five aggregates is the person, or the illustration of the person. So then there are those that posit as an illustration of the person this a mere collection of the five aggregates, and the five aggregates, as we saw previously, were form, feeling, discrimination, compositional factors, and consciousness. So So we saw, we're earlier looking at objects. So we saw how with objects that, so we looked at objects in some detail, and now we come to the part about what possesses that object. So if there's an object, it needs to be possessed by something, or held by something, observed by something. So amongst objects, we saw that objects are, or things are defined as that which is able to perform a function. So we ourselves, we are things, and we are also able to perform a function. We have ability. So we are functioning things, and we are able to perform functions. So in our context, what is the function that we are able to perform? We are able to have aspiration, for example, for happiness and to avoid suffering. And we are able to achieve that in terms of accumulating virtue, purifying negativities, eliminating afflictions and the like. So these are the functions that we as things, as we as impermanent things, are able to do. This is our function. So as impermanent phenomena, we have this power, we have this ability, and now it's up to us to, in this period, according to the Vaibhashika presentation, this period of abiding before the disintegration comes, to use this period well, and to use this period to achieve our potential, to use our power to achieve our potential. So in other words, to accumulate virtue, purify negativity, strive to eliminate our afflictions. And in that way, our goal, our Dharma goals of ongoing good future rebirths and other attainments such as liberation and the like, those will start to become will become nearer and nearer. So this presentation that we've had here is actually something very practical and applicable. So therefore, my request is that we think about the meaning of what we've learned this morning. And the meaning again here is that we are objects as well. We are things. We are functioning things. And therefore, we are able to perform a function. And what is that function? What is our ability? Our ability is to achieve Dharma goals. And we can achieve that through this engaging in virtue and this elimination of these unwholesome minds we have, these suffering minds we have. And in that way, through achieving our potential, we will attain the goals that we have for ourselves.
Okay.
And then this afternoon, we'll continue with the presentation on the object possessors, starting with persons. Kautri, do you have any questions? The Pumpo Makarire. So the five aggregates are form, feeling, discrimination, compositional factors and consciousness. And the fifth one, consciousness. So, yeah?
Describing uncontaminated space in my mind is just an absence of an object.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why it's described as an object.
Okay. So my understanding of uncompounded space is it's an absence of an object. So why is it an object? Why is it called an object?
Why is it designated as an object?
Mm. Dumateki namka. Deni, nesana dumateki namka, yul mepare. Deni, kari jenirin di yul segirebe. Dini yul mepare.
Dumaji kono mepare.
Yomare.
Sunda yul yomare.
Kom.
Dumaji kono yoroba.
Dumaji, dere, yen de nangola, yul mare. Dini, kari jenirin yul re segirebe.
Dumaji seyedi, yul seyedi, ko yun yoroba. Dan anzugi,
So the reason that uncompounded space is an object is because it's something that can be known. So if it's something that can be known, it's an object. So there's a possessor for that object, to put it another way.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
time. If there's a vase, and we have a mental consciousness of the vase, it is broken. So therefore, I understand the presentation to say that that consciousness is cancelled or lost.
Mm.
However, what about the fact that people sometimes hang on to that consciousness, either as a memory, so you have an example of someone saying to their partner, I still see you like you were when you were 20, for instance. Or someone believing that a house still exists that has been bulldozed.
Mm.
So what's the distinction here between having a mental consciousness that may have no basis, but is still a mental consciousness, or if the valid base of that consciousness is destroyed, we still have some consciousness, even though others may perceive it as being invalid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I understand. So, So if for example, someone, if there's an object and it's destroyed, the consciousness is lost. So this we understand. But what about then when someone says, oh, but I still see you as you used to be?
Yeah? Or they maintain that consciousness in their head. Another example would be, people are no longer polite to each other all the time.
They're
arguing more through lack of connection. But someone still sees it as though the world is as it used to be.
They're like memories.
So what's the distinction between a memory and a mental consciousness of something where the valid base no longer exists?
Yeah, because would that really come down to the other example of where the house has been destroyed but the person doesn't know?
The referent object.
It's easier there because the referent object is physical.
Yeah.
But if the referent object
so there's
is
memory.
Conscious, like, she still loves me.
Yes. Okay. Or could it also be like you remember someone who's died?
Yes. So the difference between a memory is a form of consciousness, even though the vase, I remember that beautiful vase. The vase is broken, but I still see the vase of existence in my memory. What's the difference there?
Okay, thank you. Then he, Kunzentempel and Dundan, never give Kola Kadrish Susan. Then he, Bumpachik, de Mepasuna, deni di Zinyeki Lode, Lagson, deni kundi Hakazum, de Kola Dokame, Yine kundadum Bumpade, Drinkede, Zetang, Bumpadadum, deni Dremper, Dremper de Kola, Karise Gedeve.
But Tempe Temper is the Yorvada. The Yorva Bumba Tempe Temper Yorda, the Bumba Tempe Temper de Lode, Nuade, Zede. Bumba Tempe, Tempe Kishiwama, Dini, Jerama, only ship to some dangoma. That took Bumba Yores and do Ton the Bumba Yorba, the Bumba Yores and Bill Samno Shiodora. In a Bumba de Chum Java and the Bumba de Mindus, the Bumba Yomaras and Bessam later. Bumba de Bumba Yores and Bessam the Meva Chasson. In other Bumba Yores and Bessam Jamba Yores, the Bumba Yema Bumba Tingorma, Yema Bumba Tingorma, Chum Sanet Bumba de Tingoma.
Jela
and Kasadiwa, the Jinema, Bumba Majumi, Bumba, Dennis Yores, and Medea, Yongri.
So, the short answer is Baba Shikas don't look at it in that much detail. So, the vase has been destroyed, and so their consciousness is lost, it's a concealer truth. But you still remember the vase, and you're remembering not the vase, this broken thing now, but you're remembering what was there before. So, this is all correct, but the Baba Shikas don't look at it in quite that much detail.
Presumably,
we
look at it in
later school.
I guess so, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Analytical cessations as.
Wait, just a sec. Go on, the test on you again?
Yes,
okay, yes, sorry.
Yeah.
I thought Kendall maybe have more to say, but not.
It says it, analytical cessation by things is a permanent thing. And I wrote down that it prevents afflictions from arising again. So does that mean that the analytical cessation is a thing that's opposing the arising of affliction, so that potentially affliction still exists and that it's opposed by this thing as a cessation? Yeah. Or does it mean that it's
okay, so when an analytical cessation has been achieved, can the afflictions still arise if, for example, that analytical cessation was no longer there?
So it seems like the afflictions still exist but can't arise, and that the analytical cessation is also a thing that's permanent and stops that arising from imposing life.
So an analytical cessation is a thing, yeah? So I'm going to must ask, is an analytical cessation which is a thing, is it a thing?
Yeah, is it a thing, and does it oppose the afflictions that are still a thing that
okay.
arise?
Okay.
Or
so,
is it just something that ceases and doesn't exist?
And what is the something that ceases, the analytical cessation or the affliction?
The affliction.
Okay. Understand. So is an analytical cessation a thing, and does and do the afflictions are they ceased, eliminated, non-existent when the analytical cessation thing?
So the permanent thing.
Yes.
Analytical cessation is a permanent thing. So its function is to stop.
Yeah.
That or prevent the afflictions from arising.
Yeah.
Which also must mean that. That the afflictions are still there.
Yes.
Arise.
Yes. Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Then again, the sosotak gopa. Then there, the ngopore, the takpare.
Takpare. Ngopore.
There. Then the yodu, then nyomo, mintuki mare. Vikungi jelere. Then the nyomo di kari sosotok gok yodu, then darung nyomo yope, nyomo yamena nyomo selsome.
Ata kansa sosugi suikula sosotago yevene, ta korongila sosotago tila, the gopa de la nyomo paya rimba mambusio rwada. Koronga ganga se nyomo di korongila yomata sosotago chirwa. So Taho Tilang to Goba Dilamini, Papu Gilo Goba Rimbus, Tanjurva. That didn't want to Susso Taho Trajan begin Yangdi said sometime by now. Coron Yangdi top Susso Taho, Goba Yangdi Tova Sansa, D Tovanza, Coron Gil and Yumon by Mevade. Sidanti Yangdi, Meva Sassona, Yumotiki again, Yahoo. Is a deed. Then I do menu Gokia. Dazin Kunda Pampiki, Gordon Sajor or Gordon. Digi Koronga Gang, Gordon, the Gang, Meva, Gawa, Yomodi Yomade, Yomoshanda Yomstik.
Okay, Hakusu. So there are many levels to cessations and subtleties to the afflictions, too. So if one is in the state of a foe destroyer, then the afflictions aren't going to be arising anymore. But if one is an Arya being, but not yet a foe destroyer, for example, one may have just overcome the acquired afflictions, but then the other afflictions will still potentially arise.
Dolipti, Gopanashi. Now, the lip chimbuchi is Sunga Gashavana, the Gopat, the Tarsi, Gopatar, Sosata, Jagat, Tarada, Kosunga Gashavaza, Sunga Chitungo.
So, to make an illustration, to make this clear, if you have a container that has a few holes in it, so water is leaking out of it, if you are able to seal up one hole, water is still coming out, just much less. But if you have, if you're able to seal all three holes, then it will no longer leak. Is it clear? Is your question answered? Otherwise, we ask.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Just a short question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a correct statement to say that a concealer truth conceals the emptiness of the object observed?
Is it a correct statement to say that the concealer truth conceals the emptiness of the object observed? Okay. So you're asking in the context of Avashika?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Dene labia de takta hebe. Dene kunso tempe ki jeli karire yogi tompa de zopkire bepkire. Yogi tompa. Yogi tompa. Yogi tompa de zopkire kunso. Zopkire yamane bepkire.
Ale kun zopse diye. Adi this did. Mini jumda gomo ke shenare da de jerama gu kun zop se di di ko shi shi go ma ko khasun kun zop la de korong gi ko mewa cha du nu ti jim lo ko mewa cha du di chen ne kun zop se ma do ko nam jin da de ene jumda ma be se kun zop se she chi ro di dan da de pe ka ni shi ma le
so that's the case in high schools. It's not the case here because the Vaibhashikas don't talk about concealer truths in this way. So that's an understanding of a higher school.
Does the term conceal a truth get used in the high schools?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, yes,
sir. Sorry, okay.